Good afternoon. Hi, everybody. Day two build nearing the end. How's it going? Yeah, that's good. That's great. That's great. So who saw the keynote this morning? Pretty much everyone, I hope. You were all out of bed in time. And who saw the mobile services section? Most people. You like? Yeah. You want to see more? Yeah, great. So you came to the right place. So this should be a bit of fun, this session, because I was quite focused on the keynote. And so this is going to be wild, and you know, just hold on tight. We're going to write a lot of code, a lot of demos. I hope you like that kind of thing. Let's just do a quick recap. So this morning, we introduced mobile services. We showed the idea behind mobile services is really, we have this theme of simplicity with enablement. So we want to make scenarios really, really easy, where you want to connect your devices to the cloud. But we also want to enable you to do things we haven't thought of, you know, to hit scenarios that we haven't really nailed, catered for just yet. So you can go and do whatever you want by writing code in server scripts, etc. What we have made incredibly easy right now is things like authentication. You've seen that you can log in with Facebook in pretty much a line of code. Structured storage, so working with SQL is very, very easy and a lot of fun. And yet if you want to go deep, if you, you know, that enablement we talked about before, is that SQL server's there for you to connect to. So this is part one of a two-part session. So right after this, over in Building 92, there's a session by my friend Nick, who worked on the keynote with me, and Chris Reisner, who are going to look at extending and composing other things like web API and .NET code with a mobile service. So if you enjoy this, that's well worth seeing. It's well worth seeing anyway. They're going to do a lot of fun stuff with .NET in the cloud, etc. Push notifications. So modern apps, as we think of them, these things that you buy through app stores and marketplaces, they all have this notion of being able to engage with the user even when he's not using the device through push notifications. That's one of the things we want to make so easy in mobile services, and we had some fun with that this morning. We're going to have some more fun with it now. By fun, you know, this. Let's see how this goes. And server code. So one of the coolest things about mobile services, I mentioned my favorite thing about mobile services, the ability to write code that executes securely on the server. And there's all sorts of fun stuff you can do with that. We're going to have a bit of fun with that today. So this is the agenda. I hope you like the look of this. We've got this intro now, right, which is me talking for a little bit. And then the setup, I think we're going to just show you what the app is we're going to build today. And then we're just going to do a whole lot of coding and a whole lot of demo to try and build and connect a real-ish sort of social application. And then if there's time at the end, hopefully we'll do a bit of Q&A. If we don't have time for Q&A in the session, I'll probably be around here for a short while after. And then I think the plan is that we're going to be over in Building 92 for the next couple of hours, available for questions if you want to come and talk to me. I'm going to be around on campus the whole time. You can get me on Twitter. My Twitter handle's been seen a lot today. I'm around all day Friday as well in the Azure booth over in Building 92. So plenty of time to do questions if we don't get time for it today. So I think, without further ado, we should begin a process of connectification. This is not a real word. Don't use it in any word games, because you'll lose. But the idea is, we're going to hook up an app. And so I want to introduce you to this application. So let me switch over to my desktop here. OK, so I've built a Windows Phone app. We're going to focus mostly on Windows Phone during this session. And I've built a Windows Phone app already that's reminiscent of what we did in the keynote this morning. So what I wanted to do was sort of take the keynote, add a bit more to it, have a bit more fun with it, and really show you what it takes to connect that thing up, and show you all the details and some of the, you know, some of the things that we didn't have a chance to show you in the 10-minute demonstration this morning. So here's the app we're going to build. Let me find it. Oops, that's not the app we're going to build. That's the store. So let me do the search. Oh, cancel. I can't even use this thing. Give me a second here. There we go. So the app is called Votable. It's not running on the emulator, so I'm going to run it from Visual Studio. That will be fine. So let me try again. Here we go. So let's fire this up into the emulator so you guys can see it. And it's called Votable. And the idea is it's a little social app where you can create events. I said it'd be reminiscent of this morning. And those events belong in a category. But the events aren't conferences or community conferences. It's anything you can think of. And it might fall in one of these three categories that I've put into the system for now, of beer festivals. Everybody, not everybody, but a lot of people enjoy a beer festival. Garage sales, you know, random things, or even presentations. And so when you create things in here, you can drill into this category. And you can view events. Notice this is just junk data. This data is just embedded in the client at the moment. We're going to get rid of that code and really connect it to mobile services in a moment. So I can see all the different events. And within those events, I have a notion of things I can vote on. So at the beer festival, it might be different tents or different types of beer, for example. At a garage sale, I'm not sure. Maybe you can vote on the items for sale. You make it up, but you get the idea. It's fun, it's interactive, and when we're voting, we're going to make use of a lot of messaging and a lot of push notifications so that multiple people can see what's going on inside the system in real time. So that's the idea. Let me scroll back out. There's a couple of other concepts I want to show you, because this does nothing now at the moment apart from run locally, and we're going to light this thing up with mobile services. So I can check these boxes also, and that subscribes me to be notified when a new event is added in that category. And so we're going to add that code as well, and we're going to show you how we plumb this all the way through the mobile service. And of course, I can drill into these, and I can add new events. And again, that's not wired up, and that's going to insert some data into mobile services. So I think I've explained the idea to you. Hopefully everybody gets it. We've got categories, which are going to be hard-coded for now, just to save a little bit of time. We're going to create events within that, and events have votables. And then we're going to use a lot of push notification stuff. Okay, so let me stop this running. And let's start connecting this up. So let me just take a drink. So this time, actually, we're going to create a new mobile service. So this morning I didn't do it. Now 95% of mobile services create within about 7 seconds, actually, so very quick. The 5% take a little bit longer, and that's usually when I'm on stage with the demo. So let's see how long this takes. Votable. So now, notice we get the option here of connecting to an existing SQL database, or to create a new one. And the guide will take me through the process of creating or connecting up to an existing one. Now, I already have a database, so I'm going to reuse that. I'm going to connect to it here by entering my credentials for that database. And that's going to start the process of creating the application, the mobile service, right now. And it should just take a few seconds. This is doing a whole bunch of stuff. It's creating the runtime that's running in our isolated environment, so your stuff's all safe from everybody else. It's connecting to that database, and it's setting up the schema and setting up a user that it's going to use. And it's also getting a DNS entry so that there's an endpoint at which we can hit this mobile service. And as usual, because I'm demoing, it's going to take longer than 7 seconds. Well, there we go, but not long. Now, the thing I want to impress upon you there is that thing's now live in Azure. So it may have felt like a long time to me standing up here on stage, but that's impressive that in that time I've gone from nothing to service in Azure. Okay, so the next thing we need to start to do is to add the tables that we're going to work with. So before I do that, let's have a look inside our application at how we represent the data that's going to make its way into the mobile service. So over here I have a file called data model, and I've put all of my classes in here. And let me just scroll up to the top. So you'll see that we have a class called event. And that's going to hold the event data that represents something that lives within a category. Now, it has a property ID. All mobile services types like to have an ID because that's going to be assigned back a number from the server when it's inserted. And this code here, this funky looking code here, is really just data binding code. So we're happy for you to use objects that work with view model if you're kind of really into doing view model pattern inside your C# clients. And then that works fine here. Notice we've got some other properties. So we have a title, we have a subtitle, we have a category ID. A couple of things I want to call out. By default, mobile services will insert a class called event into a table with the same name. But I can override that and say, actually, no, I want you to go into this table here by specifying the data table attribute. And I can also, because I'm very fussy about my wire format, this thing's going to go over the wire as JSON. And therefore, I want to control what that thing looks on the wire and actually control what it looks like when I'm working with it in scripts. So I'm overriding the capitalization here to be camel case rather than Pascal case. You don't have to do this. It's completely optional. But if you're fussy and you like having everything just right, then this is probably the neatest way to do things. So there's my event class. And notice here, actually, we have something fun. We have an observable collection hanging off the event, which is a list of votables. So that makes sense given the hierarchy I explained to you earlier. Now, we're going to load those in lazy. So I don't want mobile services to do anything automatic for me here. And I've actually said ignore that. So ignore that data member. Don't do any serialization automatically. Here's the votable class. Very similar idea. I specify the table name, have an ID, name, and the event ID it maps to. All very straightforward. So that's what the model looks like. So let's go and create the tables for that over in mobile services. So drill into the service. Click the data tab once more, and let's start adding some tables. So I need an events table. Let's create that. I also need a votables table. There we go. So those are being created in our SQL server right now, and also the middle tier, the mobile service, is being made aware of those tables so it can apply its policies with security. Now, let's wire up this client. So we go back to the quick start. You remember this from yesterday, We're doing Windows Phone 8. I'm connecting an existing Windows app. Now, if you want to see this flow where we create a new app, I have another session tomorrow in the same building at 4:15, one thing I want to say about this session is I'm going to move pretty quickly. There's a lot of stuff to build. We only have 50 minutes left. And I think of it as much as inspiration as education. Tomorrow's session in Baker, the room just behind us, would be much more education. So we're going to go through feature by feature by feature. This is more building an app, trying to have some fun with it. So we're going to keep the pace up here. Okay, so let's connect this app by copying this code over into my app XAML file. Let's paste this here. And the next thing we want to do is wire up that code to start working with data, much like we did this morning. So I'm going to go to the new event page here. And we need to add the code to save a new event. So the first thing we need to do is create an object. So var new event equals new event class. And let's set some properties on that. It needs a title, which I'm going to get from the text title control. It needs a subtitle. And it needs a category ID. Now, the category ID is going to come from my view model. Like so. Okay. And then we're going to save that. So await app.mobileservice to get me an instance of the mobile service client. And I get the table. And I can just use the type to specify the table here. And then I call insert async. One thing I want to say is you can store this variable that is returned by getTable. If you're going to reuse that table a lot, you don't have to write all of this dot notation. I'm not going to do a lot of that in this, so I'm just going to be lazy and write one line. But you can totally compose your code so it looks much prettier than this. Insert async. And that's going to insert the new event item. OK. Now, the next thing I want to do when that's finished, actually, is start uploading those votables into the table. So I'm just going to do a quick for loop. I'm going to get that from the list box that's on that screen. And I want them all to be of type string. And then I'm going to start inserting those guys. So let's create a new votable. Var votable equals new votable. And let's set some properties on that so it has a name, which is equal to the string we get out of the text box. And it has an event ID. Now, we just inserted an event. And at this point in the code, it has an ID because that's been returned by the mobile service. At this point here in the code, it didn't have an ID because I never specified it. So that's pretty cool. We're automatically sending back the ID from SQL Server and putting that into your client memory. So event ID equals new event dot ID. OK, makes sense? So let's save that. And that's the first part, so that's us adding a new event. Now let's go and add the code to do query. So I do that in my view model. And here you can see the code that's just generating kind of junk data. It's just doing a bunch of string format to create event 1, 2, 3, 4. Let's get rid of all that, and let's make it real. And what we're doing in this method is we're loading the category. So I want to pull in all the events for that particular category. And one of the great things is when you're building a link app, we support link. Sorry, a C# app, we support link in C#. So var, what are we loading here? Events equals app. I need to await app.mobileservice.getTable. And I want the event table. And I'm going to do a were clause now. So were, because I only want to fetch back events where the category ID is equal to the category ID I specify up here. Make sense? So I'm only loading the events for the category I'm looking at. Category ID equals category ID. That's going to get me the events. Now I'm going to load that onto the current category here, dot events. And I have a little extension method I've created to help me set the contents of an observable collection. So I'm just going to pass that in. And that's all it takes to start loading data from my mobile service. Oh, actually, one thing here. This is going to be executed on the server. That is not code I'm running. I'm not pulling the whole database down and doing any kind of silly iteration here on the client. That query is going to be translated all the way up into SQL so we only get the data out that we want in the most optimum way. And then I need to make sure that the thing actually happens, so I call toEnumerable async. And that's going to return my objects, and then we'll get rid of that compile error. Except I'm missing a curly brace. So I mentioned I've got a lot of code to do here, guys. So think of this as like you are my, I don't know what, 400 people here or something? You are my 400 peer programmers. Big extreme programming exercise. Please shout out when I get this wrong. So where am I missing a brace? Does that fix it? Thank you. Okay, great. So that's a start. Oh, yeah, beautiful. See? You passed. That was just, I did that deliberately just to test you guys. Thank you. Who knows what that would have done. Okay, so great. So now we're starting to save that data and we're loading it up. Now I just need to go and load the votables. So we've got some more junk data generation here. Let's get rid of that. So var votables equals await app.mobileservice.getTable votable dot where v, and we only want the votables for the current ID, v.eventID equals eventID. You get the idea. It's a very similar pattern to what we just did. To enumerable async, and we are looking pretty good. So let's assign that to the current event, dot votables, dot set range, votables. Okay, cool. Almost done. So let's run it now. Let's see this thing running, connected and working with data. So I'm going to leave the categories hard-coded for now, just to save some time, because if you've seen me do that code twice, you don't want to see me do it three times. But you can imagine it would be very easy to extend it to cover the categories as data as well. So let's go and create our first beer fest by clicking in here and clicking New Event, entering, let's go for the Munich Beer Fest. I think probably the most famous in the world. Anyone been? And what we'll, let's list some of the tents here. So the Hippodrome is a tent. There's got the Hofbräu, Löwenbräu. This is not easy stuff to type. Why did I pick this for a demo? I really wasn't thinking. Feinzelt. Great. So you get the idea. So now people will be able to vote on these in the application, which is pretty cool. So let's save that. And that's now going to make its way to the back as part of my mobile service. There we go. It's already working. And we're listing and loading the data. So I now have a... Ooh, something's gone wrong there. Let's try that again. Okay, perfect. So you should have said that earlier. See, I also tested you there. So what? I just make them, I don't add them. Perfect, thanks guys. So await app.mobileservice.getTable votable.insertAsync. And let's save that. So let's run it. This time we need to pass in the votable. It's been a long day, what can I say? Okay. Let's try it again. Let's add a different beer fest. So there's one up here in a town called Leavenworth, which I can't spell. Leavenworth. I'm going to rush now to save some time. Call it test. Let's have beer one, beer two. They're all very good. I have a particular favorite in beer three. It's just awesome. Okay, let's save that. And this time, we should actually have some data in here. And there we go. It's loading up. So cool. So connected. We've got data loading. Almost no time at all. Thanks to my 400 code buddies here. Let's keep that up. Okay. So let me show you actually that data is in the portal. And we can browse it and see what's going on. So events. There we go. Those are two events. And the votables are here as well. Another thing I want to show you, there might be something that's surprising you, right? You saw me create a table. But you didn't see me create any columns. So how is this happening? There's a name column, and there's an event ID column. There's title columns and subtitle columns. That's happening thanks to something we call dynamic schematization that's built into mobile services. So over on the Configure tab here, you'll see that we have dynamic schema turned on. What that does is when a new object arrives at the mobile service boundary, if it has a column that we don't know about, we will automatically create that column for you. And one of the reasons is it just makes it fun to work with. I can start building my app, and I don't have to worry about this upfront data modeling stage. So it's really, really fun to just start creating types. And if you're working in a WinJS application in Windows 8, you can just throw JSON at the thing, and it'll start adding columns for you. And we infer the type based on the type that you passed back to the mobile service. So it's a lot of fun. Makes development much, you know, that impedance is removed. It's kind of friction-free. But, so it's a bit like NoSQL, but with the benefits of SQL Server so that you can run your relational queries, you can run your backups, you have that SQL Server backing it there. So you have all the power of SQL with some of the fun of NoSQL as well. And you can turn this off. So if you're worried that when you go to production, someone might start adding columns to your database, turn off dynamic schema when you go to production, and that will not be a problem for you. OK, so let's have a quick look at the dashboard. Notice that we're getting real-time information here showing up. We can see that I've made 15 requests already, that I've used 1.45 seconds of CPU time, and that we're starting to make some data go out of the service. And this stuff, incredibly up to date, very useful, helps you decide whether you know, you're having a bit of a hit with your application and whether it's time to start thinking about scaling out. So I love the dashboard. OK, now let's move on. So what I want to do now is build a scenario where the user can subscribe to certain categories. And so we need to store that in our database. So let's go and add a type for that now. So I'm going to create a new type in my data model class just at the top. Let's try and type as quickly as possible. So public class, it's going to be called user category because it's going to store a mapping between users and categories. And I'm not going to data bind to this, so I can just be kind of lazy and just create simple properties. So I need an ID. I need an ID to store the category. And I need a string to store the user ID. Now I'm going to add some tags to this so that it looks pretty. So we say data member name equals category ID to make it nice casing in JSON. Again here, data member name equals user ID. And then I want to apply a table here, so this has a nice name in the table structure as well. This is all totally optional. And we're going to call that user categories, makes sense. So I just want to show you that this is possible, really. OK, so let's go and create the table for that in the portal. And now I'm inserting something to do with users. So I should probably turn on authentication. So you saw this morning. It's very easy for me to say that only authenticated users can do this. And for now, I'm only going to support inserts. I'm not going to support reads. So let's lock this thing down and make sure that only scripts and admins can read the data out. So I'm going to save that. Let's go back to our application. And inside the main page is where I do this subscription code. So here we go. Here's my to-do. So what I need to do now is another little loop that's going to loop through and insert those subscriptions. So for each var sub in subscriptions, I've got a little collection here. And just because I'm going to remove items from that array, I'm going to create a copy by doing toArray. Now I'm going to create a user category. So var uc equals new user category. Let's specify that the category ID equals sub.category.id. And the user ID, well, what I could do is I can actually get this off the mobile service client. So the mobile service client is aware of who the current user is and the fact that he has a user ID. Now let's put a stop on that. And then we need to insert that, await app.mobileservice.getTable, user category. Insert async. And after we've done that insert, I think it would be pretty good if we uncheck the checkbox. So let's say sub.category.checkbox.isChecked equals false. That's going to uncheck it for me. And I should be a good boy and remove it from that list as well. OK, so that's all the code that we need. Let's run that. Let's subscribe to some categories now. So I'm going to subscribe to the Beer Fest. That's going to hit my breakpoint. And let's have a look. So we're about to create it. We got the category ID, no problem, ID 1. And here is the user ID. Ah, it isn't showing, because the current user is null. I didn't log in, so of course it is. But I wanted to show you this current user object. So let's go and add the code to log in. And that goes over in my view model, and here it is. And once again, we're going to use Twitter. This time, I'm going to show you how to set it up. So I go to dev.twitter.com. Now, I'm not going to create an app for you just to save time here, but setting up a new app in Twitter is easy. Setting up a new app in Facebook is easy. I've already set up a few. So I go to My Applications. In here, I have the Votable app. I'm going to copy my consumer key here and paste this into the portal on the Identity tab. So for my Twitter settings, in tomorrow's session, I'll do Facebook just to show you the difference. Pretty easy. I'm going to save that, press Yes. And that's going to put that change live. And now all I need is the code in my client, which is here. So we say await app.mobileservice.loginasync. I choose my authentication provider, which is going to be Twitter. And we are done. So let's run this. automatic login. Twitter page loads. There we go. I'm going to log in as some random account here, buildnick12. Oh, pressing tab on the phone for some reason presses enter. Buildnick12. Remember me. Sign in. Be interesting to see what that account's tweeting in a few minutes. hence why I didn't use my own, right? First one gets it. No. T-shirts are not for people using Twitter inappropriately. So I'm logged in, so that's pretty awesome. So if I try and sign up now, actually, did I remove that piece of code? Where's my main page? Yeah, we've still got the stop on there. I just want to show you the user ID. Sign up. Boom, it hits my checkpoint. And then you probably can't read that, but it has a Twitter Twitter colon and then a unique number. So this guy's now logged in. I can let that code run through. And it's going to insert a user category and uncheck the checkbox. Pretty easy. So now I've started to create a registration system where this guy's saying, "Ha, cool, I'm going to register for these user categories." Now, I made a mistake there, a very bad mistake. I trusted my client to tell me who he was. So the service takes care of ensuring that the guy who's talking to it is authenticated. But it doesn't do much else. You have to do some work yourself to say, what is your authorization policy? So one thing I want to do here to make sure that this is really secure is I go to the data tab, I click on the user categories, I go to script, and on insert, I should punch out whatever the user ID the client has told me and replace it using the user ID from this object, because this object has been verified by mobile services and I can trust it to be giving me the identity of the person that's actually making the call. So let's just do that. This is best practice. Item.userID equals user.userID. I know that the item that has that user ID was created by somebody that at least has the credentials of that person. So that's good. Okay, so we've done it the right way now. So I think it would be pretty cool now if we started to think about push notifications, right? Like the next thing we want to do is when an event is added to a category I have subscribed for, I should get a push notification. So to do that, we need to start thinking about managing channels. And I don't know how familiar people in the room are with channel URIs and Windows Phone push notifications, but essentially what happens is on the client application, you request a channel URL for that app on that device. And that's a unique URL that you can use to send push notifications. So you need to save that somewhere in the sky into some storage in the cloud where your service can access it to send notifications later. I have a great place to store such things. It's called a table in mobile services. So let's go and create a table. This is what we had in the keynote this morning. I'm going to call it channels. And since channels are kind of sensitive, I'm just going to allow inserts only and lock this down to scripts. Let's save that. Again, remember, don't trust the client to tell us who he is. Otherwise, it would be easy for me to sign up for notifications that would normally be going to this gentleman here if I know his user ID. So we don't want that. So I'm going to add a script here, just modify the script very quickly, that says item.userid equals user.userid. Great, save it. It's just a line of code. Very, very easy. OK, so now we need to add the code to our client to upload that channel. So I'm going to go to my view model once more. Let's stop this running. And you can see I already have a little bit of code. Where is it? In my view model, sorry. Here, that says upload the push channel. So this piece of code here, by the way, I will make all this source available to you shortly after the presentation. So you guys can have a look at this. But it's standard Windows Phone notification stuff. So it's going to get the channel for me. And now I'm going to insert a channel to that table in mobile services. But I have to go and create a type, which, considering I'm never going to read this thing, seems kind of heavyweight. Well, not at all. You can work with JSON. And actually, the Windows Phone SDK uses JSON.NET, which is just awesome. So let's do that instead, because it's easier. So I'm going to say var channel equals new J object. Let's pull the namespace in from JSON.NET. And then we can start to add properties to this. So I'm going to say channel.add, channel URI, whoops. I'm going to specify the channel URI from this object here, and we want the absolute URI. I'm going to add another property. And the great thing is this is just going to be dynamically schematized for me. So this is what I mean by this lack of impedance. You know, I can just keep moving forward like this without having to go and think about data modeling. Add device type, because I want to be able to tell the difference between Windows Phone devices and iOS devices if I send push notifications. So device type, and then I'm going to put in, let's just hard code WP8 here for now. And then we're done. I'm not going to bother with the user ID on the client because I always assign that in the server anyway. So it's await app.mobileservice.getTable. Now, normally I pass in a T here in my generic. We can also pass in a string. So I'm just going to say channels.insertAsyncChannel. That's pretty slick. Now I can insert my JSON. That's going to go up as a channel URL. So let me just run this code through. Now, that'll happen in the background after login, so nothing special happens here. Let's go and have a look into the channels table. If I browse that, we should have a channel now. Here it comes. There you go. So those are our rather opaque URL that I can use to send push notifications to. The next thing I want to say, though, is that that code is going to run every time the application starts. And so that means I'm going to fill this table up with junk, just with the same data. So why don't we do a bit of scripting magic? I want to sort of walk you through building a script and some of the stuff we can do on the server as one way of avoiding duplicates in your channels table. There are actually a couple of approaches to this, and I'll talk about this in more detail in tomorrow's session. So I'm going to go to the script tab here. And what I'm going to do, I'll zoom in so you guys can see this a bit more clearly. Let me explain how these things work. So I'm passed three parameters. Item is the thing that's being inserted. User is the person that's performing the operation. And request allows me to control the flow of execution inside a script. Notice here that I'm using, and one thing you notice is notice our awesome text editor in the portal. Notice that I click request and it highlights, I don't know if you can see that clearly on screen, it highlights other instances of that word right here. And if I do something silly like type in a bunch of nonsense, it's going to break, I get a warning squiggly, so that ain't going to work, that's going to fail. And I even get a highlight in the scroll bar that tells me where the errors are and where the warnings are, etc. So it's pretty powerful. So I call request.execute here, which is essentially an instruction to the runtime to say, go ahead, do whatever you were going to do, and send the response back to the user. That's basically like, yep, get on with it. Now, I don't want that to happen here. What I'm going to do is take that out, and if I pause there and say, what is this function now? This function is a disaster. This function is a sink into which if you make calls to this, it'll never send a response back to the client. So we never want to leave it looking like this. We always have to send responses. So the first thing I'm going to do is start working with data inside the SQL Server table. So I'm going to create a channel table equals tables dot get table channels. So I'm actually getting the table that I'm working on, interestingly. I'm sort of doing a callback, if you will. And then I'm going to query that table. And we have a JavaScript syntax for that, which is really nice, because I can query by example. I can say, find me objects that look like this. And I'm going to create an object in JSON now. I'm going to say, find me objects that have a channel URI, just like the item channel URI I'm being passed here, and that are from the same user. So that's going to go away and find me any records that look like that. Now, to get the response, I say read, and I specify a success callback. And that's going to take some results. Oh, thank you. Look at that typo. Oh, you guys are awesome. I owe you. So read, let me just make sure that makes sense. Yeah, I'm getting no warnings, so that's usually a good sign. And so we should be good to go. Now, in here, I'm going to say, if there are any records that match that, if results.length, 3 equals for JavaScript, is 0, then that means I should go ahead and insert the record, because I didn't find anything that matches that. So I say request.execute. Else, I don't want to do that. What I'm trying to show you here is a couple of things. One is it's very easy to work with your other data. Two is this is a really nice way of building a data JSON API. Because in this other option, what I'm going to do is send back a different response, and I can completely control that. I'm not going to let it go into the database. I'm going to say request.respond, and I can specify the HTTP code I want to send back here. 200, not a 201, because I'm not inserting anything. So I'm going to say 200. We accepted your request. Everything's okay. Carry on about your business. And I'm going to send back to them the original payload that I found in the database. So that way, I'm going to avoid any duplicates when the channel loads up again from that particular device, right? Okay. So that's cool. I won't demo that to you because it's boring to watch me run the app again and nothing happen. But trust me, it works. We'll do some more fun demos in a minute, so let's get a move on. Okay, so that's how we're going to avoid duplicates, and it's an introduction to some of the cool stuff you can do inside scripts. Now, so we're starting to insert our channels. I think we're getting pretty close to trying to send a push notification, which is always fun. It's always a long 2 or 3 seconds as I wait for that thing to arrive, especially this morning in front of so many people. So let's go and give this a shot. So now what we need to do is add a script that's going to run whenever an event is inserted. So I've already prepared some script for this. It's called event.insert.js, and I'll walk you guys through this. And I'm going to paste it into the portal on the events table. Because this makes sense, right? I already said that people are subscribing to what categories they're interested in. And I want to know whenever an event's added to the category I'm interested in. So let's paste that. Paste in this script. So again, we've got an insert. I'm doing the usual safeguard of making sure I assign the user ID. I call request.execute, which means go ahead and insert the data into the database. Do what you were going to do. But notice this time, I specify a parameter. I say, call me back on this success function. So what that does is it lets the insert go ahead to the database, but it invokes the mobile service before it sends a response back to the client. So that's pretty cool. It means I can do stuff before an insert and after. And I can use closures and access variables I create here, et cetera, et cetera. So it's very nice. Now, in this case, I'm going to send a push notification. And that isn't critical if it goes wrong. If I don't get that push notification out to one or some of my users, it's not the end of the world. So the first thing I want to do is get the response back to that client so he knows his data is saved. And that's what I do here. I say request.respond. Let's get this response back out to that device. And because I don't specify any parameters in request.respond, whereas before I said 200 and passed in an option, then it will send back the normal response that would have happened. In this case, it'll be a 201 with the payload of the thing that you inserted. And now notice that, you know, you want your JavaScript to all be nicely organized. So here I call sendNotification, which is another function that I've created here. So I can actually break things down into functions inside my script, which is useful. So the first thing we have is a piece of T-SQL that we're going to execute against our mobile services database. And what this is going to do is it's going to find all of the people that have subscribed to the category that the event's being inserted to. And then it's going to find their channel URIs and device type. And then we execute that using this object here, msql.query, and we pass in our parameters. So notice that this question mark here will be replaced by the MS SQL component that we have here, actually built by the Node SQL driver team. So there's no SQL injection attacks here. We're not kind of building strings together. That would be risky. And then when that query's finished, we get our results here. And now what I'm going to do is break up the two calls here to say, I want to send some push notifications to Windows device that have registered for Windows notifications, and I want to send push notifications to Windows Phone 8. So my code at the moment says find all of the devices that are not WP8, and I'm going to send them a Windows 8 notification. And here I'm finding devices that are Windows Phone 8, and I'm going to use a different service for that. So if you don't know, Windows 8 and Windows Phone 8 have slightly different push systems at the moment. So here I say push.wns for Windows notification services, and I'm going to send a toast text 04. Which is one of the templates that these guys provide. For my MPNS for the phone, I'm going to push.mpns.sendToast, specify the channels that I want to send that to, and here's the payload that's going to create the notification that we should hopefully see on the phone. Now, because I'm using Windows notification services here, there's something I'm going to have to do. I'm going to have to configure my service to be able to authenticate with the Windows notification server. So when you register your Windows 8 application, you'll get a package SID and a client secret. I'm going to paste these in now. Let's save that first. I'm going to move back here. Go to the push tab, and I've just got these guys over here. Let me just copy them in. And this allows your app, your service, to authenticate with the Windows Notification Services server. Now, for Windows Phone, you don't actually need to do that unless you're planning on sending over 500 notifications per day to a single device. And I have no intention of doing that right now, so we'll be fine with this. Okay, so that's my service set up. We've added the script that's going to send the push notification. So now it's time to actually test out if this is going to work. So first of all, let's go into the phone app here. I'm going to stop this. I'm going to kick this off deploying onto the device I have over here on the right. So I need two devices to test this. So let's kick that off deploying that. Then let's find Votable in here. It should appear now. Where did it go? Is it running with the old name? Yeah, okay, sorry. So something went wrong there. I forgot to change the name of the application here. And it's called Event Buddy Phone. It should have been called Votable. My apologies for that. But this is the app. So in order for this to receive a toast notification, then I can't be in the application on Windows Phone. So I have to have this out here. So hopefully this thing's loaded over here. Now let's just make sure of one thing. So I'm going to go back in, go into Event Buddy Phone. Let's make sure we've subscribed to the category. So let's have garage sales. Notice those chick, that those updates are happening, those inserts are going ahead. Let's come out to the top, and then let's all cross our fingers in unison and hope that when I add an event over here to the beer fest, we get a push notification. So let's call this, I'm just going to call it test in the interest of time. Testing. Let's add a quick Votable blue. I'm going to save that. That should save to my mobile service, and there we go. We get a toast notification over on Windows Phone. So that was pretty easy. And the demo gods are with me so far, so that's great. Okay, so now let's move on to our next step. What I want to do now is start to implement some of the fun stuff we were going to do with voting. So let's try building this out. Now let me explain how this is going to work. So in the application, you can see that when I drill into a particular event, I can see the things that people can vote on. And I need to add it such that when this button is clicked, it's going to submit a vote into a vote table. And what I want to happen is I want the count of votes to show here. So this is going to make me perform some interesting kung fu in my scripts, because what I want to do is to be able to return the count. That's the thing SQL's great at, right, is counting things. So let's go and do that now. Let me show you how we're going to do it. So first of all, let me write the code that inserts the vote. That's on the event view page. Again, I'm going to use the trick of just creating a JSON object, because I'm not going to read these out. Vote.add. And we're going to add the votable ID for the thing I'm voting for. And that's going to come from up here, so votable.id. And I'm going to vote.add a property for the event ID, which makes it easier to query. And then I need to save this. I'm going to call the table votes.insertAsync. Easy, okay. Almost done. So let's save that. Now let's go and create that table. We want only authenticated users. I'm going to lock down the other operations. Okay, that's done. And now what I'm going to do is some interesting scripting, because I want it to happen such that when I query for the votables, not the votes, for the votables, I would like the JSON that is returned to include the count for each votable of votes that have happened for that thing people can vote for. Does that make sense? So I'm going to pull out a list of votables, and I would like to be in that table. I'd like to say, well, 10 people voted for blue, and 3 people voted for green. And I'm going to do that using a script by augmenting the results inside the read script. So inside the votables table here, I'm going to go to the script. I'm going to choose read. Because now I'm gonna change the results that a user asks for votables by event ID, I'm gonna change the results that are sent to him. So here's a script that helps me do that. I'll explain this to you guys. Paste this in. Okay, let me save that. So the first thing that we do is we say request.execute. That says go to the server and get the results you were gonna send back to the client application. And then invoke this function on success, and we pass in the votables, the thing that we got out of the table. Okay, and if its length is 0, if there was no results, then I say, well, just send the response. There's nothing for me to do here. However, if there wasn't, then what I can do is I can do some SQL here, because I know that the query is coming in for the event ID. I'm going to run a SQL query. It allows me to use the full power of T SQL to go and get a count and do some aggregate queries. And then I've done a little bit of JavaScript here. So this, what this does is it takes the counts and it patches them onto the object. I'll make all this code available to you guys. It's pretty simple. It basically takes the counts and attaches them to the objects as they were about to be sent out. So I actually change the results. So you can see here, I say this votable.count equals vote.count. So I'm actually changing the results in the script. And then I say request.respond. And what the client's going to get is those augmented results. And if something goes wrong, I send back an error and log it. So I've saved that. So that's going to work great. But now, if I was in a WinJS client, in a JavaScript client, then I'd just see the JSON has an account property now. So that's really what that's done. It's added a magical calculated count property to the votables table. If I was to work with that in JavaScript, that'd be very easy. It would just appear as a piece of JSON. But I'm serializing to types. So what I'm going to do is add a property on my votable. I want this to be data binding friendly, called count. And that's going to be populated by the results as it comes out. But there is one problem. I do not want this thing to be inserted when someone saves a votable. It's going to insert 0 by default here at the moment. And there's a couple of ways I can solve that. One way, which I like, is to actually say, I'm just going to throw that away. If you try and pass me that on insert, I'm going to delete that property before it hits the pipeline. So I simply say delete item.count. Problem solved. So now I've effectively created a one-way calculated property just by using the power of scripts. So let's see this in action. You are awesome, you guys. I really owe you. You get a t-shirt. Who is that guy? I will get you a t-shirt. Okay, so thank you. Now, what I want to do over in the event class is add a maximum. This is just to help me with my presentation. I'm going to have these little progress bars that grow when people are voting so you can see the difference. So I need to do some calculation here. So I'm just going to add a very simple property. This is not used with mobile services. It's just a client thing. Add the maximum. And then I need to calculate that. So I'm going to say if votables count equals 0, if there are no votables, then let's set the maximum to 0. That makes sense. And then let's guard clause out. So I'm going to return. Okay. Otherwise, the maximum equals votables.max. I love link to objects, don't you? V.count. So we're going to get the max there. And also one thing I want to do is I want to sort them. It'll just look prettier if they're sorted by the most popular at the top. So I've created a little extension method to help me with that. And that's going to sort those and sort them visually so it looks great in the view. OK, so we're pretty much there. So let's run this now. I'm going to run it on the emulator so you guys can see it clearly. If I've done everything right, let's go into the Leavenworth and let's start voting. Now, I didn't write any code to read this stuff out dynamically. So I'll have to refresh it. So let's put in a couple of votes here. Yep, there we go. And then let's go back and let's refresh that. And you'll see we are now not getting the count. Boo. The guy, another t-shirt for that man. You guys have to come to me later. I knew there was a lot of code. You've seen the script here? It's huge. So thank you, guys. I really owe you. And it shows you're learning and paying attention as well. I'm very impressed. So where is the count property? It is just down here on votable. That is awesome. That is exactly why it's not working. Because I'm returning it in lowercase, so it doesn't match anything. OK, makes sense? So let's try it one more time. Fingers crossed. Oh, I've not made any garage sales. And there we go. You can see we're now getting the data. So Ajay, I'm going to applaud that guy. Team effort. Great. Thank you. So. This is a bit dull, though, that I sort of stand here clicking this, and it's not really doing a lot. Wouldn't it be better if I was getting kind of dynamic updates? And when other people were voting, I was getting to see that happen. And there's a great way of doing that called raw notifications. So most push notification systems, you talk about the ability to send a push notification to a device when the user isn't in the application. You know, so he gets a toast, or maybe he gets a live tile. With raw notifications, I can also target scenarios where I want to send messages to someone who is in the application. And so we support that in Windows Azure Mobile Services as well. So what I want to do now is make that magic happen. So the first thing we have to do is actually go and add the script that runs whenever you insert a vote. So I go to the votes table, and on the insert script, I'm going to take this code. It's actually very similar to the other push notification we do. So we run a similar piece of code that says, after the response has, after we've executed the data, send the response to the user, but go and send this push notification in the background, so we're not holding the user up. And then we run similar SQL to find out who's already voted in this event, and let's send them raw notifications. So very similar. And then we split it so that we do Windows Notification Services first, and then we do Microsoft Phone Notification Services second. So we're going to send them both. Actually, it'll happen pretty much at the same time. OK, so let's save that. And now this works best with two devices. So I've got my phone over here, but I need to make a slight change to my code. OK, so the code is I need to handle the notification coming in. Now, that's pretty easy. I've written some of the code to do that already, so that is just here. So I'm just going to remove the comments. Let me explain what that's doing to you. It's saying if we're looking at this event that I'm getting a notification for, then go ahead and reload that data. So if it gets pinged, says, hey, event 4 is updated, then it'll go and reload it if that's what you're looking at. So we do a little optimization there. So let's run this, and if we've done everything correctly, and that's the Twitter login screen loading, and because it's remembered my cookies, it should automatically log me in. Let's just restart that. Great, okay, there we go. So now we go in here, start voting, and notice that now it's being pinged by the service, and it's actually updating the count as the raw notifications come in. Now, it's way more fun to do this with multiple devices, so let me just deploy this. Let me stop it on here. Let me just deploy this over to the phone as well. And you know what? Doesn't it seem mean not to have Windows 8 in this little party we're having here? So let's fire up a Windows 8 application as well, and let's get him connected while that's deploying. So here's my Windows 8 application. Let's switch back to the quick start. Let's grab the code so I can connect up my app. Let's paste it into the app.xaml.cs file. Let's get it here. OK, let's make sure that builds. And let's run this. And so here comes my Windows 8 client. It's going to log me into Twitter. Go into Beerfest, click on Leavenworth, and then I just need to get this running on my device over here. And if all is well, so you can see we're getting the same data. I'm going to leave that on screen for you guys. Let's go in here, Leavenworth. I really do like Beer 3, you know, so I'm going to start voting for that guy. And there you go, you can see that Beer 3 is coming in. And I'm getting actual changes in real time via raw notifications into a Windows 8 application as well. So it's really now, I think to really prove that this is real, and I've just not taken enough risks today, obviously. So I'm going to drive home blindfolded. I think we should have I want to volunteer. In fact, who's one of the people who've helped me out with the code? If you want to come up and help me out, I need someone to come up on stage and work a device for me. Because what we're going to do is have a little bit of fun now. I'm going to switch over to the emulator. So put your hand up if you want to come up. Great, this guy, awesome. This is James Chambers.
It is.
Oh, nice to meet you, James. That is not a fix, actually. I did not know it would be him doing this. Okay, so.
Do you want to get someone else?
You're Microsoft, aren't you? Oh, no, you're welcome then. That's great.
As long as
you're Canadian. He's Canadian. Is that okay? Do we let Canadians up here? I'm English, so I don't know what I'm doing here. So let's run the app. Okay, so let's run EventBuddy. And we're going to create a new session under presentations here. And actually, do you know what would be cool? Let's switch back to the Windows Phone thing. And let's see if we can get to the Windows 8 thing. And let's see if we can subscribe. There we go. That's great. So now I'm going to add a thing under presentations, and we're going to call it Fun Q&A with Audience. And then we're going to say More Risk for the Win. We're going to add some votables here, James. So we're going to say Josh is a thing you can vote for. Yeah. Think carefully. There's a T-shirt in this for you. Yeah. Mobile services is a thing you can vote for. And Surface is a thing you can vote for. And other. So let's save that. And notice, I just got a push notification from Windows 8 when I added the event because I just subscribed as well. So all of those push notifications are lighting up. So now we have this here. We can start to vote. So I'm gonna, if you want to take this device, so let me just back out here for you. Into presentations. There you go. Fun with Q&A. So you press those buttons in response to questions I'm going to ask you. And let's zoom in here. So James, tell me. Who is the favorite presenter you've seen today? Oh, sorry. What I want to point out, though, is that is a bug in my bad Windows 8 app. The Windows Phone app's fine. So we're zoomed in so you guys can see it. So, do you want to say other? Or one of the other options on there would you like to pick? And now that's not working. So, well, that's a shame. So I knew that I was pushing it too far, so I'm definitely going to drive home blindfolded because that's going to work fine. So let me just restart this. Let's give this one more shot because it would have been a bit of fun. So let's go back to the phone here. Let's stop it. It's going to stop you on the device, though. We got 3 minutes, so let's give it a try. And then if you want to just go in by finding the thing, I think it's actually called Votable on here. Event Buddy phone, there we go. Cross your fingers this time, James.
I had them crossed the whole time. It's good.
That's old. Was that it? There was a lot of votes. Did you press those buttons a lot?
Well, you asked me my favorite.
Oh, I see. So, awesome. I mean, he's getting the T-shirt from what I just saw. That's all I can say. That's the trick, is to actually make an app that doesn't work properly, and people will vote lots for you. Okay, so let's put that up. Let's see what this looks like. Let's just see if we can get it working. As much for fun. Let's navigate in. You can see the voting went pretty well in my favor, though. Make it happen, James. Did it update? Oh, well, I tell you what, let's just call it and let's do Q&A. I apologize that this last bit of fun demo didn't work. You get to pick your T-shirt, James. That was awesome. Anyway. Well, I don't know about you guys, but it's been a long day. I had an absolute blast doing that then. That was a lot of fun. And you really helped with the code review, so that was showed you were paying attention. So thank you very much. Let's do some questions quickly. I mean, if you want to go up to the mics and ask a question, we've only got 2 minutes, but I'll be around for more than that if you want to do any more. We have a question on number 4.
Yes, what's the dev environment story? Do we have to use the Azure in the cloud, or can we bring this to our machines?
Yeah, so at the moment you have to develop your scripts in the cloud, is the short answer to that. We find that people that use mobile services have less of a problem with that than people who haven't used it. It's funny, you know, you look at it, you think, oh, I need to debug right now. Actually, people are very productive without a lot of that stuff. I will say that is very close on our radar of something we want to address in terms of being able to step through code, et cetera, et cetera.
Hello. What is the equivalent of, if you're not using mobile services, what is the equivalent of those scripts that go on insertion or retrieval?
Of data.
Not sure I understand.
Like, if you were not using Azure mobile services and you were actually creating like your web API application and it was hosted on Azure and you had created like the whole service layer, what will be the equivalent of those scripts?
Yeah, so I don't know if there is a direct equivalent. Mm-hmm. I mean, something like WCF Data Services had some similar concepts, like before and after query. I wouldn't say that for everything we have in mobile services, there is a direct equivalent in our other tech stack. So I don't know how to answer that other than there's a bunch of ways you could do it. I mean, I would suggest heading over to Nick and Chris's session and seeing some of the stuff they do with the database for mobile services, et cetera. Does that help?
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, number three, sorry.
When you were inserting the event and the votables, you inserted the votables like for each iteration of the for loop. Is there any way to batch those up rather than making tons of separate service calls?
Yes, there is actually. So there's a couple of ways to do it right now, and we're looking to make it even slicker. On my blog, I actually have a post that shows you how you can upload one batch, and then you do any pulling apart of that, you can do it in the script, if that makes sense. So that's one approach people are taking. We're actually looking at making batching just a whole paradigm you can just do on the client, you send a batch. So that's it.